Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
Good evening. The purpose of Buddhist teaching is nothing less than how to live authentically, how to live in accordance with our true self, and how to live that way continuously in each moment. Buddhist teaching is intended to encourage us to live in freedom, freedom from dependency. From dependency on appearances, from dependency on what seems real, but is actually not. So in our practice, in Zen practice, we do not emphasize attaining a special kind of mind. And we do not emphasize any particular teaching, nothing that could be called sacred, because there is no such thing as a special state of mind or a sacred teaching. So, in other words, Zen practice does not emphasize ideas or concepts, even those that could be inspiring. Instead, in our practice, we emphasize how to bring the truth of the teaching into our practice and into our real, actual life, our everyday life. In other words, we emphasize engaging ourselves completely in each present moment. And we can do that if we want to be alive to what is unfolding and what we are unfolding. So, when we speak of Zen, or when we say Zen, we mean all the activities of life. And today, the biggest question for us is how can we bring this tradition, this centuries-old traditional practice, into today's modern world? How do we do that? We don't know yet. The world we live in today is so profoundly different than the world when Buddhism started and grew and evolved many, many centuries ago. Much different time. In those days, over 2,000 years ago, the main feature of Buddhism and the practice was the monks who lived in monasteries. Monks and nuns who separated themselves from the everyday world. They had no personal life. They had very few personal possessions and very little free time to do something, to do anything they wanted to do. No personal life outside of the monastery or their temple. And the traveling that they did, going from place to place between those monasteries, 100% of their energy and their life and their mind was focused on formal spiritual practice and the teachings that had been handed down. In other words, the Buddhists of those days, centuries ago, the Zen practitioner of those days, had no concern for a family, for the economy, or for politics. Their mind was somewhere else. Today, 21st and 20th century, today it's primarily lay people like yourself and myself. It's lay people who are interested in Zen. You don't have so many monks in the modern world. It's lay people interested in the practice. And they want to stay lay people. Don't want to do what the traditional practitioners did, drop out and go to a monastery. So you have concern. You are concerned with your responsibilities of your work, responsibilities of your families, and your responsibilities of your society. So the question is, how do we establish a practice in that environment with its pressures, its confusion, and its forces beyond our control? That's the question of today's Zen students. The Buddhist practitioners of ancient times didn't worry about such things. They took care of the temple and they took care of the garden. They stayed uninvolved in politics. They didn't worry about the economy. But those are the things that concern us. When individuals who are interested in the practice, who are curious about the practice, when they come here for the very, very first time, their impression is that this is very formal. It's a very formal place. What they see are these cushions lined up very uniformly, arranged in a very careful order. They see this altar with a statue, statue of the Buddha. They see incense, they see the oil lamps lit. They see a very well-kept space. This room, this zendo, is a picture of order and discipline. And it's true. This is a formal practice. We have set routines, and we have a space that is isolated from the busyness of everyday life, isolated from concerns about personal success, about ambition, and isolated, at least for a time, from the tension of everyday life. And this place offers an opportunity to create a community feeling of like-minded individuals. A feeling of a shared spiritual practice and of shared lives. So the practice here the energy of the practice here develops because we are all together. We are not here as separate individuals, and we are not here for some casual reason. The community is serious about finding and expressing its spiritual nature. So in our practice, we are rather formal. But at the same time, Canon Do emphasizes the importance, the validity of personal relationships, more than validity, the gift of our personal relationships, relationships of its members and with our visitors. So part of our practice is to be attentive and caring and supportive and flexible. So while we practice in a formal way, we can also be informal and fun-loving. These are the qualities of Zen practice in the modern world. If you visit monasteries in Japan, you don't experience many occasions of fun-loving. Quite formal. But that is a different place and a different culture and a different reality. So no matter how we necessarily have to modify the traditional practice to fit in the modern world, we have to keep the original intention and the original attitude. If we can keep the original attitude, the spirit and the determination of the Buddha and all of the disciples that came after him, that determination can continue in our age with us. So what we may call the formality of this practice is really a reminder that we are never apart from our true self. We are always with others who are also seeking freedom and truth. And how to keep this original attitude, this original intention, is not so easy. As you discover, as you gain experience with your practice, we make a vow to keep that intention, and then we notice that it's slipped away. This is our challenge. Keeping the original attitude is not so easy because we do need to be part of our society and part of our culture. We cannot drop out. We don't want to drop out. So we need to be creative and imaginative in establishing our authentic life in both the material and the spiritual dimensions. All creatures, all sentient beings need to develop skills in order to survive. From the smallest insect to the animals in the forest to the fishes to ourselves, We all need to have skills to survive and to live authentically. This has been true since the very beginning of sentient life on Earth. But if we assign a particular label to ourselves based on our skills, if we say, oh, I'm a doctor, oh, I'm an attorney, no, I'm a chef, I'm an engineer, I'm an artist, I'm a programmer. If we paste that kind of label on ourselves, we will assume a role in our life based on those skills. And it seems natural and it seems comfortable. But the problem is our skills are not who we are. Not who we are in the largest, widest sense. With our skills, we can provide our society what it wants. And we can have a comfortable life, thanks to our skills. And our skills are necessary for us to survive and for society to thrive. But let me ask you to consider, does fulfilling your social role with your skills really fulfill you? What do you truly want and need? Do you know what it is? After you have practiced this way for a time, you come to realize that Zen practice is a door to the wider world. A way to see and understand ourselves and our role without boundaries. See who we are without boundaries. That is, see who we are beyond our dependency on our personal skills. You know, machines have skills. They can do things. The skills of machines are the features that are built into them that enable them to provide certain functions. We are not machines. So too much emphasis on skills makes us become mechanical. If we give too much emphasis on our skills, we forget who we are. In addition to our skills that are necessary, we need heart. The part of ourself that has feelings, that does not depend on intellect or analytics, the part of ourselves that cares, that connects with life and that embraces life. That is the foundation of Buddhism and of spiritual practice. So our greatest skill is not mechanical and it's not functional. Our greatest skill is to see the working of our own mind. To see where we go off balance, to see when we act without authenticity. And when we can see this in ourselves, we have a way to return to balance. But if we become overwhelmed by the ideas of our skills, if we are overwhelmed by our creativity, our success, and how we function, we will have a narrow view of our life. This narrow view is called the self, sometimes the ego. And it blocks the wider view to our unlimited self. Most of you, or at least many of you I know, have read Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. There's a chapter in the book. The title is God Given. And in that lecture, Suzuki Roshi said, when we repeat, I create, I create, I create, we forget who is actually the I which creates various things. This is the danger of human culture. Because we forget who is doing the creating, we become attached to material value. These are very strong words. This is the danger of human culture. Wow. Danger of human culture being caught up in the idea that I do the creation. And when he uses the term I create, he really means that we are saying to ourselves, I'm using my skills. I'm using my skills to create something. When we think like that, we can become very proud of what it is we do. And we probably will not fully understand what it is we are doing or making. And this leads to problems. It is the result of a very narrow view of ourself. So we practice so that we can have a wider view of ourself and of our life, to see who we are in total without restriction. We practice so that we can use our skills to improve our life and to help others, but always remembering we are more than our skills. Does anyone have a question? Whether you are skilled or not.
Well, I think you said living your life authentically. I think, you know, sometimes I feel like I need to discover that authenticity because, you know, just like a baby, well, just being born, he has no language, he has no words to express how he feels or what he thinks about. Maybe this baby grew up to be like cars or like, you know, something. I think so. Just like a baby, I think adults also need to have a playful mind to go out and find the things, and really he can or she can relate to. You know, to live one's life authentically is not something that is you can just like sit and meditate. It needs to be an active engagement with the world to try to find out the things in the world that really makes you tick and try to explore it and develop it, just like a sharpening your knives.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. You're right. To be as curious and as excited as a baby. Exactly. Good. I agree. You're right. Thank you. Yes, Bonnie.
Thank you for your talk. I struggle sometimes with understanding what I'm responsible for and what is outside of my responsibility. And there's different themes that come up in Zen, such as it being a mistake to think that there's something other out there that's separate from us. But then there's also our dual nature, and like you mentioned in your talk, that there are some things that are beyond our control. So my personal experience has been that sometimes, even in very challenging situations, my mind is somehow open enough that I'm able to see a solution. I don't feel like it's the small I creating it. It feels like I'm kind of following some path of light or something that's guiding me, or like a current that's helping me along. Like I'm connected to a greater purpose or a connection. But then there's other times where I feel kind of stuck, like I don't know what to do and this is complicated, or I just feel like I'm swimming in a bunch of paperwork and trying not to drown, kind of thing. So in the first experience, I have a feeling of being connected to something guiding me. And in the second type of experience, I have the feeling of not being able to see or find that clear path forward. And a lot of people debate about this. Some people have philosophies and have told me, you know, anything that's happening outside of you is a reflection of you. And then there's other people who have different interpretations and say that's narcissistic, and rather we should just try to be our authentic self and respect the fact that other people have free will. And I kind of feel like they're both true. Like in some ways, what I focus on, what I think about, does influence my environment. And yet I don't feel I can control my environment. I can only control how I respond. So I was just wondering if, I know that's not a clear question, I'm kind of all over the place, but I'm wanting to feel more in the flow and less of the struggle, obviously. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what is our responsibility, what is it that we do influence by our thoughts, by our intentions, and then what is it that we should not really try to control, because that's, you know, not for us to try to manage the world around us, right?
Well, I think the first thing we have to do is remove those kinds of questions from the university. Take it out of that kind of context. You described how you felt. Sometimes you feel carried along by something. That something is not apart from you. That's your intuition and your feelings and your experience and your wisdom guiding you and giving you energy. And you have a sense, or sometimes a certainty, of knowing what to do. In other cases, it seems out of your control. But rather than be concerned about your responsibility or the fact that this you can't help with this problem and makes you feel bad, all you can say about it is, I don't understand it yet. This is important. This attitude is very important, not only for our practice, but for our sanity. Sometimes we come across something that is just beyond us, but we're working on it. So we say, I don't get it yet. That's all. And there's optimism in that. And sometimes there are things that we can't control and
Can't worry about it too much. So be inspired by what you can do and the feelings that come up, and have optimism that you're going to continue to learn more. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll just comment on what you were saying, just how I experience that. Usually when I'm feeling distressed and confused, it's because I do something which is out of alignment, or somebody rubs me the wrong way or something like that. And so I'll go to the gardens and just sit and wait for my mind to clear and get into harmony with nature and just see the ducks and then there'll be more clarity as to a sign. And I don't know if it's God or the Buddha nature. I think labeling it is just kind of like people get into fights. but the clarity is there. You can feel at peace with the clarity and the direction and the guidance. That's my reflection.
Thank you.
I kind of want to share something also related to your question and this conversation we started. Yesterday I heard an interview on NPR, and they're talking about creativity and where it's come from. And they interviewed a scientist, a neuroscientist, and he's studying creativity and where it's coming from. And what he did was he invited a whole group of like jazz musicians and pretty much put them in like a brain scanning machine while having them like jam it out. And what he found was, this is all neuroscience, but what he found was the like prefrontal cortex, the part that controls self-awareness, your self-sensor, your self-awareness, that part when they're jamming, when they're creating, is turned off. And other part of the brain was freely in use. And I find that finding really zen, because essentially science is saying, in order to be in the flow, to have that clarity, you just have to lose yourself. And I think the self is in the way, it's controlling how you feel and not allowing you to reflecting and expressing the authentic self. And when you're either trained through music or through meditation to actually lose that I, the ego, the self, and something beautiful just blossom from there. I think it definitely takes practice. It doesn't take like a month to become a musician. I think in Zen, in meditation, we all feel that way as well. But I just want to share that. I think that just ties into this conversation beautifully.
This talk was brought to you by the Canando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.